The truth in the Gospel of Mark, we come to chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 20. Now, this passage of Scripture is one of the best known, not only among Christians, but to non-Christians. Most people know about this passage of Scripture, which is commonly known as the parable of the sower. But I think it's better if we think of it as of the parable of the sower and the soils, because this is about four kinds of soils and four kinds of hearts. Would you follow as I read through this entire passage through verse 20? Chapter 4 of the book of Mark. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Now, I don't know about you, but it's helpful for me if I visualize that and think of myself as one of the people there on the land. The Lord is a few feet out in the Sea of Galilee, and he's speaking to me and to us. Now, it is said that sometimes the voice bounces off the water, and they're unable to hear, and he could speak to a great multitude. And here again is this great crowd, and he's going to talk to them. What's he going to say this time? Then he taught them many things by parables. This is a new thing, and many think that this is the first parable he taught. So let's catch what he's teaching. He taught them many things by parables and said to them, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside or the path, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and take the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And there we have the parable of the sower and the soils. What an interesting, intriguing passage of Scripture, filled with great truth about God's sovereignty and about the reality of human beings and what is in the heart. Let's begin immediately by thinking of a parable. What is a parable? Well, the classic definition remains, it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, an earthly truth with a spiritual meaning. And Jesus did this constantly. He was always using farming, animals, life here, a vineyard to teach spiritual truth. And this is what he's doing here. A sower went out to sow. And then he explains that it has spiritual truth. In verses 3 through 8, we have the content, where it's just at an earthly level. The sower goes out to sow, and there are four kinds of soil, but only one soil produces good fruit. And when that's finished and he gives that description, the disciples, along with some other people, say, "What does this mean? Why did you say that? What is this about? What is the purpose of a parable?" Now here we hit vital, glorious truth that is highly controversial. This is where Calvinists and Arminians part ground. This is where we stand for the sovereignty of God, or we give in to the milquetoast of humanistic theology, and we do or we don't. And what did Jesus say is the purpose of a parable? Verse 11. To you. Who are the you? Immediately his disciples and all of his people, the church, who would be saved. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, which is simply the gospel, that salvation is not by the law, salvation is by the death and resurrection of Christ, and it is the gospel which was unknown to the world, and it's now been revealed to God's elect. But to those who are outside, in unbelief, all things come in parables, so that is a purpose. Seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Now, I personally don't want to twist that around or make anything other than what it says. And this is what it says. The Lord teaches in parables in order that, or so that, to hide the truth from some. and to reveal the truth to some. Now, people want to water that down and make all kinds of other meanings. I don't know how you can do that. So that some may have the truth hidden and some may have the truth revealed. That's the sovereignty of God. And that's just the way it is. It can't be another way. So that. Now, who are the some? In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul writes that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he, because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are outside cannot receive the truth, cannot understand, because their foolish hearts are darkened. They're in a condition of total depravity, so that seeing, they don't see spiritually, and hearing, they don't hear spiritual truth. They are outsiders. And this is what Jesus is saying. Here's a parable. So that God's purpose will be fulfilled, that some will see and really see, some will hear and really hear, and those outside never will. Now, I think we see this pretty regularly. When you talk to people personally, some just don't get it, cannot understand the gospel, will not. If you have a group of 500 people and you're preaching the gospel, you can just tell by looking at people that they don't get it. And you can look at some and say, yes, we're together. They're believing, they're receiving the gospel. Now, here is a question. Would God intentionally prevent some people from hearing and believing? That's the essential question that divides. Would God do that?
Amen.
Has God done that? And I say, and hopefully our church says, yes. That's within his prerogative to do that, to fulfill his own purpose, and actually go out of the way and speak in parables so that seeing they won't see and hearing they won't hear. Now, anybody can hear the gospel physically. Doesn't mean they don't hear actual words. It means they don't hear spiritually and apply that truth to salvation. Now, let me just review two or three little things that people use in interpreting the word that in verse 12. So that, T-H-A-T, what does that mean? Now, some would say, well, that just doesn't mean purpose. Means less than purpose. That's an interpretation. Another is that this statement is simply not authentic, and it's put in there somehow, but Jesus would never have said that. Another interpretation is that this is spoken in jest to bring out an opposite truth. That's a common thing that's used. But here, this interpretation must be literal. It's a purpose statement fulfilling God's purpose, revealing man's depravity and God's hardening human hearts. Now, Pharaoh is a supreme example of that. Pharaoh is already a depraved man, but God hardens his heart so that he will fulfill God's purpose and not let the people go. So we have a definition of a parable. We have the purpose of a parable to hide the truth from some and to reveal the truth to some. Now, how does Jesus explain this? A sower went out to sow. The sower is anyone who witnesses the truth of the gospel with God's word. Particularly in this instance, it is Jesus himself who is the declarer of the gospel. So there is a sower who is a declarer of the truth. There is the seed, which is the word of God, the scripture, the Bible, the revelation of truth which God has given. There is a sower, and there's the seed, and there is soil, which is the human heart. And he's going to explain what happens to all four soils. So the first soil is in beginning at verse 15 here, and he explains that this soil is like the hard path. The heart is hard. The heart resists. It's a person who's around Christianity, but it's only on the surface. Only an intellectual thought about it. A calloused, hard heart. Never plowed. That soil of the human heart, never plowed, never cultivated. Calloused and hard. And Satan snatches away the truth. And the symbolism was that the birds come. Well, the birds and Satan are instruments used by God. And this heart is as hard as the path on which that seed fell. Now, we all know people like that. And perhaps we ourselves have been that way at one time. Hard and calloused heart. The second soil is a heart that is, as it says, it falls on rocky ground. And there's an immediate response. The person who gets around Christians or goes to Bible study or comes to church and makes an immediate bouncing response and just sounds so good and wonderful and give testimonies and want to get on committees and want to be in leadership, and they sound so good. But it's all on the surface. Very shallow. Not rooted. And there's no loyalty. A little trouble comes and they're out of it. Now, I can't tell you the number of people that come to my mind as I'm talking to you, speaking these words, of people that I've seen through the years that are exactly like this. A little trouble, a little tribulation, something not going their way, they're not moved fast enough in leadership, and they're gone. A few of life's El Ninos come along, and they're gone. They don't stay. They're counterfeit, they're hypocrite, they sound good immediately, but there's no loyalty. There's no depth. They're gone. We know people like that. The third soil he speaks of as the soil itself was filled with thorns. And what he's explaining to us is that the third heart is a crowded heart, full of weeds and full of thorns, and explains the things about it. That it is, first of all, under the deceitfulness of riches. Or begin really with the cares of this world. This person, still trying to live a double life, part Christian, part in the world, in this worldly stuff, just crowds the heart, the worries, the concerns of this world, anxious, troubled, under self-control, no release to trust and rest in the grace and power of God. He says then there's the deceitfulness of riches. This idea of always thinking of get rich quick, do something to get it in, which ruins the life. This heart has a lust for things. There's no stability. It's a life that's shifting. And interesting that we can use the term, there's no room. There's no room for the Word of God. There's no room for communion with Christ. There's no room for fellowship with other Christians because it's already crowded out. Now that term, no room, we usually associate with the birth of Christ as Mary and Joseph come to Bethlehem. No room in the inn. But what is it today? Still true that there is no room in these hearts for the Lord. Already crowded up. Already choked. How many people do you know who are choked with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for things? Well, we would simply say today it's schedule. Our schedules have become our God. And it's we let everything else crowd out the Lord and serving Him, and there's no room. Jesus spoke of three soils, sad, tragic, produce no fruit, nothing there. Well, thank God there's a fourth soil. And the fourth soil, he says, is a fruitful heart, a receptive heart that produces fruit. Now, it's interesting. It's the same sower, and it's the same seed. So the difference is not necessarily there. It's a different heart. Now, what can we say about this heart? Well, we would have to say it is a regenerate heart. It is a true believer. It is a heart that has heard inwardly, spiritually, the truth of the gospel. And it says that that heart has accepted and received the gospel. That heart is ready and prepared, and it is God who makes the difference. You got four hearts. One of them's good. One of them is Christian. One of them is regenerate. Who makes the difference? Now, the popular Arminian gospel would be, why, it's this fourth heart which has had the wisdom and the moral integrity and the determination of free will decision to up and accept. That is not the truth. It is God who makes the difference. Now what happens? The hard ground has not been plowed, has not been broken. And what happens in the regeneration of the elect is that the Holy Spirit comes when He wants to, in the way He wants to, and to whom He wants to, and He begins to plow a deep furrow in that human heart. And He breaks up the hard ground, the calloused heart, and breaks through the pride and the stubbornness and the unbelief, and prepares that heart for the Word of God. Then the Holy Spirit drops that seed into the heart. And that seed germinates, which is regeneration, through the moisture or the water of the Word, and the Holy Spirit creating faith causes life. That is the gospel, and I am more convinced of that every day that I live, that this is the truth of God's Word. If you and I believe this morning, it's because the Holy Spirit has plowed deep and dropped the seed of the Word in our heart and caused us to receive it. And we ought to leave here with such humble gratitude that our life is consumed by gratefulness. Now, these first three soils are condemned and are responsible. Every heart is responsible for relationship to the Lord. The fourth soil has the privilege of responding to the grace of God by faith. What a privilege. What a glory that comes to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And another thing we learn in this parable is that there is a certain harvest. God is going to save some. And it's not going to be whether you and I are good witnesses. It's going to be by His own determination. There is a certain harvest. Now, I don't think we can take the proportion here exactly. We would say, here's 100 hearts, and the gospel is proclaimed. Is 1/4 of that 100 going to be saved? Well, I don't think that's the message here, that it's going to be 1/4 of all the people who hear the gospel will be saved, but it's going to be some. And we have the confidence through what we believe that as we declare and live the gospel, God is going to save His elect. There is a certain harvest. Now, if you have an interest in evangelism or speaking to people, what hope is there that you and I could come at them with such cleverness, with such eloquence, with such articulation, and with such emotion that we would cause them to jump out of total depravity, out of their spiritual grave, and be saved? Well, there's no hope whatsoever. But if we know that God is going to save His elect, we come with the gospel with confidence and let God do what He will. And he wills to save some. And it is God himself who makes the difference. It is the Holy Spirit who produces the fruit. Now, we have talked mostly about the initial regenerating thing, that what the Holy Spirit does in the beginning. Now, in order for us to continue in belief and producing fruit, the Holy Spirit continues the nurture of that plant, supplying the water and the nutrients we need as a Christian. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit. And who do we think we are that we are wise enough and moral enough to glorify God and produce fruit? We can't do that. We rely continually upon the enabling of the Holy Spirit to cause us to glorify God by what we say, by what we do, and by what we have. Here is the parable of the sower and the soils. Now, upon being exposed to this truth, I have to ask, which heart am I? And which heart are you? I can never take for granted that people who attend church are the fourth soil, because I can't discern that. God can. But the question has to be raised this morning. Which heart are you? And which heart am I? God grant that by his grace and mercy we are included in the latter part of these, upon whom the seed is sown, who hear the word and accept it and bear the fruit that glorifies God. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Lord, we're overwhelmed by the greatness of your word. Thank you again for the Bible. Thank you for John Mark, whom you used and inspired to record this parable for us. Thank you for its truth. Thank you for all that we learn from it. Thank you, Lord, that you certainly do save your elect, and that we pray that we may be the privileged ones whom you have graced and through whom you have shown mercy, to be believers, to accept your word. Holy Spirit, we invite you this morning to come and plow deeply into our hearts. Break up our pride. Break up our sin. And to break up our selfishness. And cause us to produce the fruit that glorifies you. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his name. Amen.